prospers. If you are always in turmoil in your heart, in your mind, if you are always agitated, if you're always at unease, how many know that that's what disease is? Dis-ease.
Yes.
And God said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly, that it may be well with your soul, that you don't have to live like a yo-yo Christian, up one day, down the next day, up and down, up and down, up and down. That it can be well with your soul, because we are anchored in Christ. And Paul writes to that extent here in Ephesians, and we're going to get into the book of Ephesians in a minute, but in Psalm chapter 1, I want to read a verse. We're going to start there today. Psalm chapter 1. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I guess I'll read that again. Maybe you'll get it. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I'm not talking just... And we read that word prosper anyway, we get into the financial aspect. But how would you like to prosper in your relationships in your marriage? Your relationships with your children? Your relationships with brothers and sisters in the Lord? Your relationships with your grandchildren? How would you like that kind of prosperity working in your life? And so I want things in my life to prosper. I want my relationship with my wife to prosper. I want my relationship with my children to prosper. How many of you ever had a relationship with your sons or your daughters and it wasn't in a good place? And it was a difficult thing. It was a brutal thing. And it wasn't prospering. And God said, I desire that it prosper. So when I read this, I want you to know God wants you to prosper in every area of your life. In every area of your life. So in Romans 3:23, Paul writes a letter to Rome, and he's in the Church of Corinth when he writes it. And he writes it in about 58 to 60 AD. And he writes to the Church of Rome, and what they're dealing with is, as God has come and poured out His Holy Spirit, there's an understanding that now God is teaching by through the Apostle Paul the gospel of grace, and in that, that works no longer apply, that it is the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, that is the finished work of Christ, the finished work of heaven, that now when we trust in Jesus Christ and His blood, and through that redemption, we now have salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God says, you don't get to boast your way to heaven. You don't get to live this incredible life based on what you have judged and made right. And Paul said, I've got to understand 3,500 years of history of the law that we're now stepping into grace. And he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
So you can look at me with your holy blue eyes and be just exactly perfect. Pastor, you don't know how holy I am, but Paul gets us all right here.
Yeah.
Say with me,
for all have sinned.
Ooh. And he's writing this to the church at Corinth saying, look, the Church of Rome. And what he's saying is, the Romans that came out of paganism that got saved, that think, you know what, now that I'm out of paganism, I'm living a good life, that should be good enough for God. The Jews that have come out of Judaism and thinking that I still need to live by the law, and if I live by the law good enough, God will accept me. Paul says, no, it's all by the grace of God.
Yes.
And what I love about that is God makes it equal and a level playing field for all. And so if you were born with a lot more talent than me, a lot more ability than me, you don't have a leg up on me, because it is a simple equation of understanding that if I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and His blood, and I know that in that is my salvation, I am as saved as somebody that has an IQ of 160. I don't care how smart you are, how much more blessed you are with talents. God said, everybody have a chance. And I love that God is an equal opportunity God, that He gives everybody a chance to be saved. Not just the elite, not just the upper echelon. God gives everybody a chance. I love that about our God. So say with me, all have sinned.
All have sinned.
That includes you. That includes you and that includes me. And David says something. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Or turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're now in the book of Ephesians. We're going to do a study in the book of Ephesians, which is counterpart in the Old Testament. I told you last Sunday, it is the book of Joshua. In Joshua, God told the children of Israel, you're going to go in and possess the land. And here God was saying, you're going to go in and possess the material portion of the land. You're going to possess the cities and the towns and the fruit and the blessing of the land. And in the New Testament, the Ephesians is you're going to go in and possess the spiritual blessings of God. And God says in the Old Testament, you're going to fight. And He said, you're going to have to fight your way for it. He said, I've given it to you, but you will have to fight for it. In the New Testament, He says, I have given it to you, but you're going to have to possess it. And He said, you're going to have to take the armor of God to do it. So how many know that sometimes what you are looking for and what you need, God is saying there's going to be a battle to get it. That's why He says, then we're going to get to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to talk about the armor of God in relation to how important it is in relation to what you need God to do in your life. How many in this room need God to do something in some area of their life? Every person here. There was one person who was asleep, didn't raise their hand, so I'll let that go. But the reality is, Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesians, and he wants to deal with what God has done for us and understanding what Hebrews 9 says is so great a salvation. And so Paul begins to deal here with the church at Ephesus of understanding where we were and what God has done for us. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That means according to the devil. That's what that means. What did Jesus tell the Pharisees? You are of your father, the devil. That's what He told the Pharisees. And they were in church every Sunday. Where in times past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom you also had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh. And here's where Paul gets us all, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Everybody say, and of the mind.
And of the mind.
Okay, praise God. So just because you ain't done it don't mean you ain't thought it. If you've thought it, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Some can say hear an amen there. Jesus said that, not me. I'm just the messenger. And so Paul, he wraps it all up in this pretty little bow and says, we all have issues. We've all had our conversation, and that word means manner of living. And he said, we all did that. So in times past hath He quickened who were dead in sin, trespasses and sin. In times ye past walked according to the course of this world. Verse 3, among whom also we all. Everybody say all.
All.
Everybody say all.
All.
Some of you don't think that includes you, but God said it does. The Apostle Paul said it does. In times past, this is how you walked, according to the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Ooh, that he got everybody right there. And were by nature the children of wrath. And by nature, it was natural to be wrong. It was natural to be nasty. It was natural to be mean. You don't have to teach a child how to be mean. Have you ever seen a three-year-old last night? You give them a cookie, or they steal a cookie, and you go ask them who stole the cookie, and they got cookie crumbs all over their face. Don't know who stole that, Grandma. You don't even have to teach children how to be nasty by nature. You don't have to teach them how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to fight. One of the things that was interesting is, as our granddaughter's getting older, what we found out is in the playroom, if she wants a toy, she wants a toy.
Uh-huh.
I know any of your grandchildren are like that. I get that. Your grandchildren are holy and righteous and they don't do like that. But how many know it came natural to be greedy? It came natural to lie. We were by nature children of wrath. We were by nature. It was natural to live in sin and walk in sin, the Apostle Paul says. And in that, what we did is we fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Boom! And then verse 4 comes along. But God! But God, I love this. This is one of my favorite verses that says, Stephen, you are a rascal, but God saw you and had mercy on you. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, not His love, His great love, wherewithin He loved us. How many know you are greatly loved? Greatly loved. Not just loved. You are, for God so loved. You're not just loved, you're so loved. Here Paul says you're greatly loved. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us, there's that word again, quickened us, together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
I'll tell you what, that is one of the best parts of the New Testament that there is, where the Apostle Paul says, this is where you were. You were dead. You were dead men. You were, did I just read that? You were dead. You were dead. My Bible tells me, can He hath quickened who were dead. You were dead. And He has made you alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That is good news. That is good news. That is good news. Holy Spirit, we just ask You right now that as we get into this Word, we ask, Spirit of God, that You would just take us into the truth and the depth of what You are trying to minister here into the church. And what You are trying to tell the church at Ephesus, that they did not understand how dead they were. They did not understand. They had no redemption. They were out of grace. They were out of relationship with God. And there was no way to make it right. There was no way to make it right until God Himself came and did it in the flesh through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank You today that You have quickened us. You have made us alive unto Christ Jesus in this earth today. And so we praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that He hath made us alive unto good works. Unto good works. So if you're wondering why God saved you, you were saved to do good works in the kingdom. Not to do good works to work your way to heaven, to do good works because of who has saved you and because you love Him. So your good works are inspired by the love that God has for us and the position that He has now made us as sons and daughters, kings and priests unto Him. So, verse 4, but God got you out of your spiritual grave. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. You were dead in sins, and so God took you out of the graveyard. Spiritually, God came and rescued you out of the graveyard. And so we need to understand that we have all had our conversation. And we all had the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and in our minds and the way that we live by nature. And how many understand that even the best person you know has issues? Even the best person you know spiritually, I'm going to tell you, they still need washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the greatest person that you think, my goodness, Mother Teresa or somebody like that, you put them up on, I'll tell you, don't put anybody on a pedestal except Jesus Christ, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this is the amazing thing that God has done, is He has come and raised us from our state of being dead spiritually. So what we do is we see this thing, and it's amazing. Even when we were dead in sins, you were dead in your sins. The Bible says you were. We see this when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And here the parallel to that spiritually is, the Bible said that when Jesus came, Mary came and said to Him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and life. I am the name of God. I am. God is the resurrection and life. And everywhere that God comes, He brings life. And she says, well, I know that He will live in the resurrection. And He said, Mary, Mary, Martha, you don't understand. He that I have made alive is alive forevermore.
Amen.
So when Jesus raised us from the dead, do you understand you can't kill somebody twice? Do you understand that? You cannot be charged with murder twice. If you kill somebody, you can't be charged twice. Okay, Lord, I'm going to have to help me explain this. You can't die twice. So if Christ has raised you from the dead, you can't die again. If Christ has raised you from the dead, you can't die again. I need to tell people they're alive. Anybody alive? If Christ has raised, you who were dead are now raised to life.
Praise
God. So Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave. Lazarus, come forth. Amen? Lazarus, come forth. And Jesus says something interesting. He says, now, you disciples, you take the grave clothes off of Him. Jesus said, I will raise Him, but you disciples, now you take the grave clothes off of Him. You disciples, now you have work to do. Do you know that once Jesus Christ brings you into a born-again experience, it is the work, the fivefold ministry of the church to now help us get the grave clothes off everybody?
Yeah.
And He tells the disciples, you unwrap Him.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't unwrap Him. Jesus said, I've raised Him, you unwrap Him. So we as believers, we have work to do when saints come to Christ. It is our job to help people change their position and their condition. So here's what happened. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Changed his position. Changed his position. He was dead.
Yeah.
You were dead. But Jesus now, Paul says, He has come and He has quickened you and made you alive and made Lazarus alive. And Jesus now says, what He has done is He's taken Lazarus from the position of being dead to the position of being alive. But he said, we got to now change his condition too. So when Jesus Christ raises you, you hath he quickened who were dead. Jesus said, I've changed your position. Now you're alive unto God. I've changed your position. You're not dead any longer. Now we're going to work on your condition. So God has raised you and he's changed you from the position so he can now work on your condition. He has changed you from your position being dead in sin to a position of being alive in Christ. And he says, now that I've changed your position, now I can work on your condition. Now I can work on your condition. That's why you come to church. God's wanting to work on your condition. Lazarus come forth, but now he said, we got to get some stuff off of him. We got to unwind him. We got to get the grave clothes off him. How many know that when you come to Christ, that's when you come to Christ, not everything from your past is walked away? In other words, how many understand that your flesh is being saved? And so you can come into Christ, and just like the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they brought a lot of Egypt with them. So how many know that when you're born again, doesn't mean that that the very next day, all those nasty little habits you had are just going to go away like that? Now, sometimes they do, and I've seen deliverances that were amazing, but I've also seen situations where people come to Christ, and they had problems or issues, and they were still dealing with those issues. And God said, I understand there's issues. I changed your position so I can now work on your condition. So everybody in here, God's working on your condition. That should be an amen. Hallelujah. God's getting those grave clothes off of me. He's changing my condition. My position has been raised. I'm no longer dead. I'm quickened unto Christ. So we are all in a process of changing our condition. How many know that we grow from glory to glory? We go from degree to degree of growing in Christ. And what an amazing thing that he's done. So he has raised us up out of the spiritual grave we were in. And he has quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sin. And then Jesus says, you guys loose him. That's amazing to me. I would think Jesus would call him over and Jesus say, I'll loose him. But he tells his disciples, you loose him. And here's what you need to understand. As pastors and teachers, I cannot loose what God has not raised. There's not a pastor, and I don't care. You can bring in Charles Spurgeon. You can bring in the greatest pastor. You can bring in whoever your pastor is. You put his name there, and they cannot loose who God has not raised. They can't. I can preach until the second coming, but if God has not raised you, and you have not made that application in your life, you will come to church and get nothing out of church if God has not raised you from that death. So, here's what we're talking about. When God has raised you from that spiritual grave, how many understand that what you get out of church is really a decision of what your heart is when you come to church?
Right.
See, every person has to have their own experience and their own encounter with God. I cannot have an experience and an encounter for my wife. And we cannot have an experience and an encounter with God for our children. We cannot. And so the reality is, it is important that when we come to church, we begin to learn what this resurrected status is in Christ and what it means in our life, so that when our children look at us or other people look at us, they say, you live a different life. Tell me about the lifestyle that you're living. And now that opens a door. You can say, let me tell you that I was once dead, but I have been now made alive by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what God is looking for. So when you come to this is how I know you're born again. This is how I know for a fact you're born again. This is how I know as a pastor. And you will not believe what pastors understand when we deliver the word. I can tell by the way you receive the word. There's an ex-pastor right there. I can tell by the way you receive, and you're not ex anymore. I can tell by the way you receive the word of God, whether you're born again or not. Am I right, Jim? Don't look at me. Look at him. He pastored for years. The Bible says that we as believers, when we come to Christ, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. A baby in the womb has no desire for milk until it's born. Get this in your spirit. A baby in the womb has no desire for milk until the second it's born. That's a fact. Absolute scientific fact. No desire. Don't even know what milk is. But the second they're born, or the second person really becomes born again in Jesus Christ, they desire the sincere milk of the Word.
Yes.
They know without it they won't grow. They know without it they won't come to maturity in Christ. They know without it they will not make it in Jesus Christ. They know that. So I can tell by the way you receive the word whether you're born again or not. Say, I don't believe that, Pastor. Ask him. Ask Jim. Not Bill, ask Jim. So there's no pastor, no prophetic anointing that can loose you if Christ hasn't raised you. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. We've been quickened together with Christ. We've been quickened together with Christ. I don't need to find... I know where Jesus is. I'm quickened with Him. I'm quickened with Him. That's what my Bible says. I am quickened with Christ. Say with me, I am quickened with Christ.
I'm quickened with Christ.
Ah, so when Jesus got up out of the grave, I got up out of the grave. Amen? When Jesus got off the cross, I got off the cross. When Jesus got out of the grave, I got out of the grave because I've been quickened with Christ. I was dead just like Jesus. He died. He died on Calvary. So if Christ got up, we got up. Christ is not on the cross, so we're not on the cross. So when Christ got out of the grave, we got out of the grave. If we serve a resurrected Jesus, we should live a resurrected life. If you serve a resurrected Jesus, you should live a resurrected life. If Christ is risen, we are risen. So when Jesus got up, He got up and left an old dimension into a new dimension. So when Jesus got up out of that grave, He left death, hell, and the grave and had power over death, hell, and the grave. He had power over death, hell, and the grave. That's what my Bible tells me. He had power over... The law was over. He had victory over the law, over death, power, and the grave. When you were quickened with Christ, you have power over death, hell, and the grave. Well, so, Pastor, what about the physical body? The physical body, that's just a shell. The nut goes to heaven. That's just a shell. The nut goes to heaven. Heaven's full of a bunch of nuts. I can tell you that right now. This earthly body, this is just a shell. You know, one of the things that my wife and I discuss is how long it takes to do bodily maintenance. Man, Lord, what were you thinking? The nut goes to heaven. But we've been quickened with Christ. So when Christ got up out of the grave and went to a higher dimension, that is from the dimension of law into grace, so did we. We went with Him into the dimension of grace. We do not have to live in the grave dimension anymore. We should be living in the dimension of grace and a resurrected dimension. A resurrected dimension changes everything. A resurrected dimension says, with God all things are possible.
Yeah.
That's what a resurrected dimension says. With God all things are possible. If God be for me, who can be against me? All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to purpose. That's a new dimension of living. And God said, I want you to live a new and different way according to Hebrews 9. I want you to live in this new and living way. And He said, I want you to walk in this. God said, I don't want you living in the graveyard anymore. You were dead. Say, we were dead. But we are now alive in Christ. So why do we live in the grave dimension when we should be living in the grace dimension of Christ? Or the resurrected dimension? Verse 6, and it says, listen to this. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's made us sit together. It doesn't say in heaven. It says in heavenly places.
Yeah.
It does not say heaven. It says in heavenly places. Say with me, in heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
You know what my wife and I learned? That when we get things right before God and we get things right according to the Word in our marriage, that our marriage can be a heavenly place on earth.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you who's married. Me and Kenna are married to Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Me and Kenna are married to Christ.
Right.
Me and Kenna are married to Christ. That changes everything. Because now, however I react or however I act, I have to now take this into account. This is Christ. How am I going to now treat Christ? Because the way I treat my wife is now the way I'm treating Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Because Christ is in her, the hope of glory. So you've got to understand, you can live in heavenly places on earth right now. Jesus said, I've raised you up to this. You don't need to live the way the rest of the world lives in the graveyard who are dead spiritually unto God. Whew, hallelujah. Heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. You cannot have a heavenly place on earth that is outside of Christ Jesus. Every heavenly place on earth is going to be in Christ Jesus. Let's go back and read that. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where?
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus. I'm living in heavenly places today. A new way of thinking, new way of walking, new way of talking, new way of loving and forgiving. A new way of caring and being obedient to God. Everybody say, in Christ.
In Christ.
That's your new address. In Christ. That's your new address. Let's read that again. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit. Now I'm raised up and I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your new address. Your old address used to be Graveyard Boulevard.
Right.
That's your old address. You who were dead in sins and trespasses, He quickened. He made alive. That's where you were. That Graveyard Boulevard, that's where you were. And that's where the world is. That whom He hath quickened, He has made alive in. Your new address is in Jesus Christ. Your new address is in Jesus Christ, according to the Apostle Paul. You need to claim that new address. And I'll tell you why. Because the devil still sends mail to your old address. And the problem is most Christians have it forwarded to their new address. That's a fact. Something happens and the devil forwards it to us and we're in Christ and all of a sudden we start worrying, we start doubt, we start fear, we start unbelief, we start naysaying, oh, I don't know what God's got, oh, I don't know if He can do this, I don't know this. And you're having your mail forwarded to your new address? Stop the forwarding process. The devil is looking for the living among the dead among the living. You're living in Christ.
Yes.
He cannot get mail through to Christ.
Amen.
He cannot get mail through to your new address in Christ.
Right.
And we as believers, we go back and we pick up our old mail at our old address, Graveyard Boulevard.
Yeah.
God has raised you up and quickened you. That's not your address anymore. I'm not going to live on Graveyard Boulevard. You know what's interesting to me is there's only one letter difference between grave and grace. One letter. G-R-A-C-E, G-R-A-V-E. You know, in Christ you can be one adjustment away. One adjustment away from a new lifestyle. One adjustment away from a new way of thinking. One adjustment away of changing one thing. And the Bible says it's your mind. The Bible says it's your mind. Be ye transformed in your mind. Be renewed in your mind. God said, you can change one thing. You can change how you react to bad news. You can change how you react to the devil's mail. You can change it. The devil is looking for somebody that's alive in a place that's dead. You are in Christ. Please quit forwarding your mail to your new address. You're one adjustment away from graveyard thinking. Living and thinking in fear. Lying and hating, judging, hating and cheating, fornicating, addictions, all that. God, you're one choice away from that. Every addiction is just a choice. Every addiction is just a choice.
That's right.
You can change one thing and change your whole life. You step into the heavenly place of grace. Grace is the risen you. It's your new address in Jesus Christ. I used to let the devil send mail to my graveyard address and I used to go pick it up. I didn't even have the post office do it. I'd go pick it up. Anybody in here other than me, go get your old mail down in the graveyard. But we don't live in that graveyard anymore. That is not our address. Our new address is in Christ. Paul said, I've been crucified. He said, that's the old me. He said, the new me, no, I picked up. My new address is in Christ. All things are possible. Jesus is, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. That's my address. That's where I'm living, hallelujah. I'm living where Jesus is, in Christ. That's my new address. Listen, you say, well, Pastor, isn't heaven our... Heaven is where we're going. I've got news for you. If you're in heaven, you're dead here physically. Heavenly places are in Christ, here on earth. Have you ever heard the phrase, so heavenly minded, no earthly good? You ever met those kind of people? So heavenly minded, no earthly good. We ran into that in the 70s when the hippies got saved and they got so heavenly minded that they didn't even know what a job was. Well, anyway, I'll get off that. But the reality is, our address is Jesus Christ. Quit picking up the devil's mail at your old address. The reality is, God has moved us from Graveyard Boulevard to Graceland Avenue. That's where God has moved us. This is all done by grace. For by grace are ye saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Yeah.
I'm not living in Elvis Presley's place. Trust me. But I live in Graceland Boulevard today. The reality is, just because you're in Christ doesn't mean that we won't have issues. Doesn't mean that we go through things. But my Bible tells me that if you're going through the flood, I'll be with you.
Yeah.
I'm living in Graceland Boulevard. If you go through the fire, I'll walk through the fire with you. I'm not alone. Christ is with me. Christ and I, we are a majority. I'm a friend. I will stick close to you. I'm living at a new address in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean I won't have vicissitudes or things happen in life. It means I have somebody to go with me through it and get me through it on the other side. When Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, and the storm came up on the sea, what did Jesus say? We're going to get in the boat and we're going to go to the other side. The storm was just something that happened in the process of them going to the other side. Jesus had already prophesied, we're going to the other side.
Yes.
So in the middle of the storm, Peter and the disciples should have said, well, this is a storm, but Jesus has prophesied, we're going to the other side. We're going to get through this, all right.
Yes.
Say, we're going to get through this.
We're going to get through this.
What address are you living at today? What address? Because you have Him whom He hath quickened. You are alive in Christ. And what God says, I want you to have a different attitude about life. The reality is we can have a wonderful experience on Sunday, but driving down the road on Monday can change our whole attitude of everything that happened on Sunday. But when your address is in Christ, it changes everything. It changes everything. How we act, how we walk, how we talk, how we feel, how we think, how we react. One of the sins that I ask, when I ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins, I ask the Lord, forgive me of my reactions also. That's the old Stephen coming out. Some of you will get explain that to your spouse on the way home. So God is saying, I've done something new. You're living in a new place. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, that's why he says, forgetting the former things. He said, I forget what the things are behind me. He said, that's all gone. And the thing I press for the mark of the high calling of God and the prize of God, he said, I'm looking forward. The reality is when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says that God has raised up a standard. And that standard, according to your Bible and my Bible, is Jesus Christ Himself, the person of Jesus Christ. So when the enemy comes like a flood, you don't have to run back to the graveyard. You don't have to panic. You get in the standard, which is Jesus Christ. Your new address. I'm hiding in the rock, the cleft of the rock, the rock of ages. I am in Christ. That's my new address. And though the flood come, though the storm come, I'm in Christ. That's my address. Devil, the old mail is going to the old address. You go look up it down there and deliver it down there. I'm not coming back down there. So here, verse 6, Paul says, He hath raised us up and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ. That's an oxymoron. He's made us, He's raised us up. That's one. And this is what you need to understand. Christ has raised you, but He wants to make you sit. That's what my Bible, let's read it. And hath raised us up together and made us sit. Made us? Really? And made us sit? That's crazy. Wouldn't it be natural to sit? Wouldn't it be natural to sit? See, there's many people that Christ has raised up in the born-again experience. And they're in Christ, but they have not sat yet down. And they sat in the blessings of being in Christ. They have not sat down in the blessings of Christ. They have not sat down in the rest of Christ, the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ. They have not sat down and established it. You have a seat at the table. And God says, when are you going to sit down and relax into what I've done for you? When are you going to sit down and relax into what I've done for you? How many in this room are worry warts? Just one or two, praise God. Anybody in this room ever get anxious? Anybody in this room ever fret? God said, you don't have to do that. Sit down. Sit down in me. Sit down in Christ. He hath made us sit. I think I got to explain that. Some of us haven't sat yet. He hath made us sit. I'm going to make you sit. And God wants us to sit and be seated in Christ. Uh-oh, there is another chair we can sit in. Go back to Psalms. Go back to Psalms. There's two chairs you get to sit in this life. You either get to sit with Christ or you get to sit with the scornful. You either get to sit with Jesus Christ or you get to sit with the scornful. You either get to sit with Jesus Christ or you sit with the scornful. You either sit with Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you, you'll be seated in one or the other. You'll be seated in one place or the other. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 1. David understood this clearly. And he understood this primarily because of Saul. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You're going to sit one place or the other. You're either going to sit with Christ or you're going to sit with a scornful. Anybody know what scorn means? Remember when Jesus raised a little girl. She's 8 years old. He raised her and he told her she's not dead. And the people, the Bible says that they scorned Jesus for this. They scorned him. You know when Jesus was dying on the cross? Why don't you come down off that cross? If you're truly the prophet of God, they scorned Christ. Scorn is derision, doubt, and unbelief. Scorn is a nasty, nasty place to be. Scorn is a horrible place to be because it's an attitude that God is not able. That's the attitude of scorn. Scorn says this, God is not able. That's what scorn says. The scornful. I don't need God, He can't do it anyway. And God hates that spirit. He hates that spirit. Children of Israel, they murmured unto God, and you read it there in 1 Corinthians 10:10. And they murmured and complained, and God said, I'm tired of your scorn. He said, the fornication, the adultery, and all that ticked me off, but you're murmuring and complaining, I've had it with that.
Yeah.
He said, you scorned me for the last time. Nothing worse than a woman scorned. Everybody ever heard that saying? You're going to sit one place or the other, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're either sitting with Christ as a believer. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You're either sitting with Christ. That's good English where I came from. Or you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. And God hates that place. And David says God hates that place. But there's two chairs you get to choose to sit in. And the Bible says He maketh us to sit. In other words, God might deal with you until you finally sit down and relax in Him. No amens there, but okay, I'll keep preaching. I said, I'm going to make you sit. Not sitting with the devil, not sitting in fear, doubt, unbelief, anger, hatred, lust of the flesh and the mind. See, the devil wants you sitting with him in the seat of the scornful. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The enemy will always try to get you out of the seat God has prepared for you. He will always try you to... Let me give you an example. God set Saul as king of Israel. God Himself said, chose him, handpicked him, set him as king of Israel, put him on the throne of Israel. And Saul chose to get up off that seat and go sit in the seat of the scornful. That's who David's talking about right here. A man who ended up at a witch's house. My God, my God, my God. Scornful is a dangerous place, brothers and sisters. So God is saying, come sit with me. Your new address. Come and live at your new address. Come and enjoy your new address. I'm not saying you won't go through issues or have vicissitudes or problems, but I'll go through them with you. I'm going to tell you, one of the worst places in the world to be is sitting with the scornful when you're going through a problem. My God, my God, my God. I'll give you an example. Remember Job's wife? Why don't you curse God and die?
Right.
That's what she told her husband. Curse God and die. I'm telling you, that's scorn. Curse God and die? My God. I told you what scorn meant. It says God's not able. I can't trust God because He's not reliable. God takes that personal, brother and sister. See, you have to learn how to sit down in Christ. You have to learn how to be seated. One of the reasons you come to church is how to learn how to sit down in Christ. That's what church is about. What good is it for God to give us all these blessings if we're not going to sit in them? If we're not going to sit in them. I have prayed with people right here. Prayed unbelievable prayers for health and strength and God's blessing. And watch them walk out this door and get in a conversation out there on that porch. that with the conversation, the words were so scornful, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Pray right here at this altar. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And walk out on there and start talking like a sailor. You need to learn to sit in the seat that Christ has prepared for you. Come up here and sit in the seat of Christ and then go walk out and jump right back in the scornful. I think that the scornful seat has become a lazy boy chair. It honestly has, and it must vibrate, and it must be amazing because many people live there. Even, I can tell you this right now. I had a lot of friends in the world that when I really got serious about Christ, I had to let them go. How many had to let go of some friends? Okay, I'm going to go one more. How many have ever had to let go of believers that said they were believers but didn't act like they were believers? Amen. God said it's time to sit in heavenly places. Your new address is in Christ. You're in Graceland Avenue. You've been raised up from the dead. You're raised to newness of life. Why do we go back and lay down in the grave that God has already resurrected us out of? I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's my new address. The Bible says that He that is a propitiation for our sins, His blood was a propitiation for our sins. A propitiation. Do you not? Can I tell you what a propitiator is? How many know what a space shuttle is? And when it comes back into the earth, when it changes, it goes from one atmosphere to the earth's atmosphere. How many know that they have heat tiles on the space shuttle? And it deflects the heat. It deflects all of that that would burn up the astronauts. That's called a propitiator.
Right.
And so when the space capsule comes back down, it has that heat shield, and it takes all the heat, and the astronauts are safe inside. I'm safe in Christ. He takes all the heat for me.
Yeah.
He's my propitiation. So the mail of the devil hits his blood, and guess what? It deflects it. He is my propitiation. He is my deflector.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Stephen Heckathorn. Guess what? It hit the deflector. It hit the propitiator of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I've had people lie on me, talk stuff about me, and it hit the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It has.
Yes,
I've seen God do it. It's amazing. How many last Sunday, what did we have the blood covering over us, and we took communion? What did we do? We lift the cup, we get the blood of Jesus over us. I'm living under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's free. I wouldn't even talk about that till next week. For He is the propitiation. That means He'll take the heat for me. That means, I wish I had Holy Ghost people. That means He will take what the devil throws at me.
Right.
He will take it and it'll burn up.
Yeah.
It'll burn up. Fiery darts. Quit preaching next Sunday. Fiery darts. Man, people know their Bible. We're always preaching next Sunday's message. He's made us to sit together with Christ. But He's made us to sit. That reminds me of Psalm 23, for He maketh me. Hold it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Why would you have to make somebody lie down in good? That's an oxymoron. Why would God have to make you and you and you and you lie down in good? He maketh me to lie down, the Bible says. He has made me sit in heavenly places. You come next week, I'll tell you why. Why would God have to make us do the obvious? Why would God have to make us do what would bless us? Why would God have to make us sit in heavenly places? Can I read a scripture to you? Can I read a scripture to you? For in times past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath. God has to make us sit because we are by nature. We are by nature. How many know as a believer how easy it is to fall into sin? There's three of you. Every man don't got his hand up and lying. You dogs, don't you lie to me. You can lie to your wife, but don't lie to me. It is so easy to fall back into sin. Don't kid yourself. But God said, I'm going to make you sit. And that's why the Bible says that we are the sheep of His pasture. Because sheep and pigs both fall into the mud. But a sheep will cry until it gets out. But a pig will stay there and wallow in it. And that's why God calls you sheep, not pigs. Because it is so easy to fall back into the wallow of the flesh. Don't kid yourself. It is so easy to get in the flesh. And look at her. Look at what she's wearing today. She just thinks she's something. Look at him. Look what he's driving, that big old truck like that. Who does he think he is? See, the Apostle Paul says this, Colossians 3:1. If ye be then risen with Christ. If ye be risen with Christ. Say that fast 5 times. Here's the question. Are you risen with Christ? Are you saved but not risen? Does your lifestyle will indicate it? Your lifestyle will indicate it. Don't kid yourself. Everybody else knows. The biggest lie we tell in this world is the lie we tell ourselves. That's the biggest lie you'll tell anybody. Paul tells us this, if ye be been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Oh! He has taken me out of the grave. I'm not on Graveyard Boulevard. I'm now living on Graceland Avenue in Christ. But I still have to seek Him every day. I have to seek, if ye be been, can't say that, if ye then be risen with Christ. Seek. Hold it. I'm risen. I shouldn't have to do nothing. I'm risen with Christ. Bless God. I'm on Graceland Avenue. All the blessings of God are yea and amen. No. Apostle Paul says, if you're risen with Christ, you still have to seek. You have to seek those things that are above. You have to seek love. You have to seek grace. You have to seek mercy. You have to seek to be a worshiper. You have to seek to have a prayer life. You have to seek to be a Bible student. You have to seek to be a good student. That's why you come to church.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's amazing how many people want to be risen out of the graveyard and living on Graceland Avenue in Christ. But I'm just waiting for God to come and get me. I'm waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. No, the Bible says, He's putting you in that position so you can seek the things that are above. So you can't seek the things that are above down here. You can't. He says, I've put you in a position for ultimate blessing. I've put you in a position to be ultimately blessed. Seek it. Seek love. Seek grace. Seek mercy. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live in fear, doubt, unbelief, anger. You don't have to receive the mail down here anymore. I live at a new address in Christ. And He's my propitiation. Bad news comes, I've got a propitiator.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I won't deal with it. Doesn't mean that I'm just going to act like that. But I have a propitiation in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I don't get the devil's mail anymore. I got news for you. You come around, you start bad-mouthing somebody, you will not engage me in the conversation one bit. I won't. And this is one of my favorite lines. Pastor, I just got to tell you. You know what my answer is? No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know one of David's biggest secrets? One of David's biggest secrets in life? I will not touch the anointed of the Lord. I won't kill him even if I have him in my hands. I will not kill him. I will not say one bad word about him. My God, God said, this is a man after my own heart. Because Saul's going to reap what he sows.
Yeah.
I don't got to help God.
Right.
I don't. David knew Saul's going to reap what he's sowing. I'm not going to touch him. Come on, let's live in Graceland Avenue.
Yeah.
Quit getting the mail down at Graveyard Boulevard. Your new address is in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
So your marriage can be a heavenly place. Your home can be a heavenly place. You know what? Even after my father passed away, my mother had praise and worship going in the house all the time. All the time. Bible tapes on. Praising God. First one to church, last one to leave church. She was in a heavenly place. In Christ. In Christ. She knew Daddy wasn't dead. She knew that. She knew he wasn't. He's in a better place. And today I want to challenge you. Are you living at the new address God has made possible? In Christ. Are you? Everybody stand. So you know, Pastor Steve, I hear what you're saying, but you just don't know what I'm dealing with. I want you to look around this room. Everybody in this room is dealing with something. Look around. I guarantee you, everybody in this room is dealing with something. If you're dealing with something, raise your hands. I'm not a liar. I'm not lying. Grab the hand next to you. I'm going to ask you today to make a decision before God. That today you're going to change your address permanently. Permanently today. Permanently. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to that Graveyard Boulevard address. I'm not going back there, Lord. Lord, you have made it possible for me to sit in heavenly places on earth now. Not in heaven, but in heavenly places. Heaven's coming. But I can have heaven on earth right now. Driving down the road, in my car, in my marriage, with my kids. I can have it right now. But God said, you have to seek. If ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek love. Seek mercy. Seek grace. Seek His Word. Seek prayer. Seek it. Because you're going to be seated in one place or the other. There's only two seats. In Christ or with the scornful. I'm just going to ask you today, as I pray this, that you just pray with me in agreement that today, Father, I come before you. And I ask, Holy Spirit of God, I ask you empower me with the anointing and the understanding that I am seated with Christ in heavenly places today. And today I make this decision, Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, my Savior, God, my Father, I make this decision today to set and make my permanent address final today in Christ. In Christ is my new address. If you pray that prayer and agree with that prayer, say hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Graceland Avenue, that's where we live. Not Graveyard Boulevard. God has made it possible to sit in heavenly places. Amen. Get your hands up for the blessing. I am seated with Christ. Ooh, I love that. I'm seated with Christ. I'm seated with Christ. I'm seated with Christ. There's another place that says we are sitting at His banqueting table. And His banner over us is love. His banner. Here's a banner of the Lord for this week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And God said, when I chose you, I chose your children. When I chose your children, I chose your grandchildren. When I chose your grandchildren, I chose your great-great-grandchildren. For I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim, says the Lord God of Israel. When I chose you, I chose generations. God says, if you'll put my name on your children, I will possess them. I will make them an inheritance unto the Lord. If you receive it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, we'll get our finishing.